This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbour.
South Main Street.
So moved.
Second.
Motion in 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public meeting. Is there any comment? Public comment? Public comment? Hearing none. Can I get a motion to adjourn the public hearing for the restaurant liquor license?
So moved.
Second.
Motion in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get a motion to enter a public hearing for a request for long-term lease of city property for housing?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public comment.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The proposal, which you've reviewed and seen and everything, is an opportunity for a housing, 24 units for income levels, people earning $40,000. It's a graduated scale, and there's number of qualifications and the number of people in the apartments, but basically people with a person with $40,000 income or less. That's a missing part of our housing puzzle. The housing in Buffalo, we need several types of housing, and one that is talked about a lot is the missing middle, which is 80% AMI to 120% AMI, which this is not. That missing middle, there isn't any known government programs at this time. There isn't any concrete action anywhere that we can determine it's available to us, although as part of the Johnson County Community Foundation, we may have an idea to work on missing middle next year. May have. It's way early to talk about it. But in the meantime, this proposal would bring 24 units of credible, well-tended, well-maintained housing for people that should stir up the housing part of in Buffalo and make other properties available. What those look like, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't say. But 16 different communities in Wyoming have 26 of these properties total, and they love them. The three vendors that I've identified, which is Wyoming Housing Network, Pond Development, and this one, Housing Solutions LLC, have put up these 26 units, and they've been widely accepted and welcomed with open arms, and don't seem to cause problems. We can do that. We can provide these homes and provide this land that would allow the development of these homes as part of the WCBA requirement to show local interest. And that helps the scoring. And And 2 years ago, there were 13 applications, three got accepted. Good scoring gets those accepted. This would help our scoring tremendously. So I asked you, well, before that, I think almost everyone agrees we need housing solutions for, that's the name of the company, sorry. We need housing for in Buffalo of various stripes. This provides an answer, and I think almost everyone on the council has said we need housing. Now, there's lots of definitions, so I'm not trying to speak for you, but I ask you to be leaders to push for housing and find roadblocks. Understand what the roadblocks are and smooth them over. Let's move on with this and have a solution. Thank you.
Ms. Miller?
You want to give the mic or can I just talk louder? I'm sharp. I have 22 units in this town. My rents are from $250 to $875. If everybody needs housing, the Wyoming Housing Authority is paying most of the rent for some of my tenants that is available in this town. This same thing came last year in front of us and wanted to be down by the YMCA in our park in that area on city property. I'm going to say no, 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 no. It is the wrong location to put up units for low-income housing. It's needed, but I'd rather see it over by Flatiron in that area for low-income housing. It can absorb that amount of units easily. There is a better road and distribution for people to get around in that area. You have all the hookups you need in there. Be more cost-effective for the city in that area to do it and not conflict our beautiful downtown park area. And that's the biggest no that I have for you right now. I have over 30 years in real estate experience. No. I have 10 years of being at advisory groups. No. This is not a good location. They suggested last year and this year. So every time you know. And like I said, I do have 22 units, and those are my rent averages, $250 to $875. There are affordable things, and I do have people with the Wyoming Housing paying the rent for them. So that is available. So we do have affordable housing here for the people with the right needs.
Thank you.
Mr. Morris.
Mayor, Council, Travis Lawrence, and I serve on the Johnson County Community Housing Trust, or I don't know what the name of it is, but we're kind of a grassroots organization that is trying to figure out housing solutions and what to do about that. And it's been quite an education, and nothing's going to happen swiftly. But as we have more meetings and learn more and invite people in to educate us on the different options that are out there. And I think we all agree that we need more housing across the spectrum, from trailer courts all the way up to high-end housing. And Jerry, who's the chairman of our group, mentioned that missing middle. And I think that's in large part what our community really wants is housing that the PD and our teachers and my employees at the bank can afford. And so we're working on that, but we also don't want an opportunity to pass us by either. And so I guess at a very minimum, like what I'm asking you to do is have a discussion on it as to this particular facet of housing. Does the city want that, yes or no? If the answer is yes, what is the city willing to do to accommodate that? Right now, I guess there's a proposal on some land of the city's. I don't know if that in itself is the direction you want to go. But the city also has other tools that you guys can use to incentivize, whether that's water and sewer taps, discounted building permits, things like that. But it would be good to have a discussion, and that way we kind of know as a community what direction to go and what we're willing to do, what we're not willing to do. Politically, there's paths forward that are easier than others. And so just want you to have an open mind and look at different options and the different tools that you could have available to you. I also wanted to say that I want to make sure that the city is doing everything that it can to posture itself to take advantage of opportunities that will be coming down from the state. I think the tea leaves are written with the Wyoming Business Council. At one time, their mantra was kind of, let's go talk to businesses, let's bring in like the gun manufacturer over in Sheridan, where I think that's changed, and there's going to be money out there that the city can apply for to put infrastructure in or help a developer put infrastructure in. And so I don't know what studies, what ducks in a row we have to have in order to apply for those grants, but I just want to make sure that we're ready when that opportunity does come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Carrie Agin, resident of Buffalo. This is absolutely disastrous. Renting out long-term city property for housing. So what happens if Housing Solutions LLC becomes insolvent, or if there's a change in the tax code and the credits are no longer available? Does the city then assume ownership and all the obligations for the maintenance, subsidizing rents? Do they take over ownership of the buildings? Are they going to be doing the maintenance? Is that really the best use of city personnel and resources? Maybe there'd be more housing if we weren't in a housing price bubble, and for which there is no reason except greed, really, from the banks. Also, tax relief. Why weren't we granted tax relief? Everything that really would have mattered was nixed in the Wyoming legislature. Only pittance was passed, but not real tax relief. In addition, is the city prepared to fund the additional law enforcement to handle the social problems that are sadly part of the lower incomes and dependency on social welfare programs, such as domestic violence, alcohol and drug abuse, theft, truancy, etc.? Can the city tell us exactly how this will solve the problem of not enough workers created by the failed COVID response, the failed inflationary Federal Reserve monetary policies, and the failing domestic policies of the Biden-Harris administration? Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Why don't I answer?
As long as we don't get into debate.
I'd like to say about the question that you brought up about what happens if it fails, and the question you've asked twice in a year's time, what happens if it fails? If you go to the WCDA, talk to them or look at their website or whatever, like for example, these 26 units that I've mentioned, 26 projects that I've mentioned, that have been going on for 15, 20 years that they've been doing this, there's none of that. And they have great controls. Yes, there's been some changeover because owners got divorced or who knows what, but it's well managed, and it has a succession, or maybe not quite the right word, but the properties are still maintained and are still in good shape, and they don't have any failures. And you can find that out on your own just by, you know, looking to the WCDA, calling any one of the 16 community mayors, calling any one of the 16 community department police chiefs, and see that that is not the issue. There are issues in apartments and types that are structured differently. I don't want to get into all that, but this type of structuring has had great success. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Sue Clinton. We live in the neighborhood in question, and there's no dispute that we need affordable housing in Buffalo. That's not our issue. What we see every day, every school day, the congestion on that street, you guys would not believe it. It's bad enough as it is, but the school buses, those drivers, bless their hearts, oh God, we wouldn't want to have that job. The crossing guard, all the parents who have to come from the other side of town to bring their kids, you guys, three schools are right there. It's bad enough as it is. For the other stuff, I know it's important, but nothing is more important than the safety of these kids and these drivers and the crossing guard and the school bus. We have a bird's eye view, like I said. Every morning we say, gosh, how are there not more accidents? And the way these parents drive when they're taking their... It's just a no-brainer that this is a poor, dangerous location. That's our beef, all of us who live in that neighborhood. I wish you guys could all be... I wish you could see what we see every morning during the school year. It's frightening. And to add 24 more families right there, it's just a no-brainer that it's a poor location. There has to be some other location in Buffalo. That gal over there mentioned the Flatiron. That's something to think about, but that's just one. It does not belong in our neighborhood. It's just too dangerous, too congested. Thank you.
Louis Mullen, I also live in that neighborhood. This came to council last year. It did not pass. None of the neighbors that I talked to seem to want this here. Why is this being presented with a month to go before consideration? Obviously, this is not the forum to consider this. You should have a year at least to consider a 99-year lease. You should have your attorney being talking to the community. The council should be reaching out to members of the community. We should not be voting on this in a meeting with really no notice. I am not for this. None of my neighbors are for this. There are other locations. We need workforce housing. That's what we should focus on. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Carrie Agin again. I did not realize it was a 99-year lease. That's insane. Why are we even considering city property for leasing for housing?
You know, so they don't have to put it up for bid. So they don't have to do, it's a loophole.
So it's no bid.
It's no bid.
Thank you for that clarification. The state is also looking at doing this. Leasing state land for housing. There is plenty of land outside of state land and city land. Excuse me, sorry for raising my voice. I think this is insane. Do you want to become landlords?
I don't.
Because that is quite likely to happen. If something goes wrong, that is quite likely to happen. Is that really the best use of city personnel and city resources? Is that what we want our city to become? Landlords? Thank you.
One last call for public comment.
I guess I'd like to make a little statement before I vote here, but I'm also on the Housing Committee Task Force working on there, and I agree that I like most of the proposal of this idea to build housing, but I don't like the idea of the 99-year lease. And what kind of turned me off on that is this is the only one of those projects in the state. This is the first time that they would be leasing land. Every other project they've done, they bought land. And I'd be fully supporting of this project if they want to find a piece of land to purchase someplace else. But I agree that I'm not in favor of that location just because of Bird is one of our busiest streets in town during the school days. And I will be voting against this, just even though I know we need housing and we need it bad, but this is not the best use of that land for 99 years. And the way that it turns out that we had one proposal for that land from this company. We don't know if there's another better use for that land, if there's somebody else that has a better proposal, but we haven't heard it yet. So I'm not in favor of this piece of property. I'm in favor of the project if they could find a other location. So.
Yeah. One little comment, that 99-year lease, that's the maximum allowed by law. That's why it's not more than 99 years.
Hearing no more public comment, can I get a motion to adjourn the public hearing for the request for long-term lease of city property?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public hearing is adjourned. New business. Restaurant liquor license application. Jay Johnso Corp. DBA Rosie's American Cafe. Restaurant located at 65 South Main. Can I get a motion to approve the restaurant liquor license?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? I'll be in for a hot dog.
Yes.
Can I get a motion to approve the housing solution request for long-term lease of city property?
Mayor Council, I'd like to speak to this. Do my job. This is, you've all seen it. It's the option to lease. I kind of want to give you a rundown on how planning came up with the recommendation for you guys to approve this lease. We do look at locations. We look at the public comment for housing. We've looked at past studies. With that being said, we can go back to 2007. This is from our 2007 comprehensive study. It talks about a survey was conducted. Part of the plan, 78% of the voters rated the city poor in terms of adequate housing for all income groups. And so we can now fast forward to our survey just conducted, and we look at adequate housing for all income groups. 47% rated you very poor for adequate housing. 36% rated you poor on adequate housing. So we go down, we ask further questions, such as, do you think Buffalo needs more single-family homes? 79% said yes. We asked, does the city need more apartments and condos? 70% said yes. Does the city need more townhouses and duplexes? 68% said yes. So also coming out of our 2007 comprehensive plan, specific techniques. Now, this is a plan that, with the time, we had a certified planner. We hired this out. This was a $68,000 plan that we paid for as a city. They made some recommendations on specific items that we could take action. The city could take action in. And so you know, this land wasn't just thought of. It wasn't just brought up all of a sudden. But some suggestions were that lands of public ownership could be considered for affordable housing development. In appropriate circumstances, the public entity could provide the land at no cost to private sector developers of affordable housing, similar utility work connections waived. Here's where it gets interesting. The city of Buffalo owns several lots between Cemetery Road and Conard Street that could be used for affordable housing efforts. And so these particular lots were brought up in 2007. And so here we are, 17 years down the road, we still don't have near the housing we need. And so we looked at that. We looked at, like I said, location. So we sent this out to our consultants to take a look at this and give their feedback on it with Interstate Engineering. They looked at Cemetery Road going out, also up Sesame Street out. And so this is a viable route where the Conrad and Burritt Street don't even necessarily have to get the traffic. We looked at our newest housing studies. This was from WCDA. All right, so this is out of the brand new study by WCA. It's a housing assessment across all Wyoming. This is specific to the Northwest region of Wyoming. And they estimate between 440 and 742 units will need to be accommodated in Johnson County housing by the year 2030. And so we're talking adding 24. We're a huge, we're way short of that goal that this study has produced as far as housing. Here's what they come up with Johnson County for the AMIs, how many units you'd need. So 0 to 30% of AMI would need about 50. They have two estimates, 51 to 86. 31 to 50, you're going to need 21 to 36 units. And then the WCA specific is for 60% or less, so you're going to take a few of these houses from this category. So they're talking affordable housing. They're going to need, right around 70, between 70 and 80 units. Is what they're predicting that Johnson County will need to move forward with the housing accommodations. That's just kind of some of the simpler things we looked at. As far as that goes, I do want to reiterate, some people have, this is not Section 8 housing. This is not government subsidized housing. They do not pay your rent. I've heard things bad about out there at Flatiron, Glencoe. That was Section 8 housing at the beginning. That was a little different story. There were some things going on out there. I believe that is a poor location just because it's tucked away back in there as far as crime and things like that. I think location makes everything. Like I said, we look at location from a planner standpoint. You focus your development around schools. Okay, it cuts down buzzing costs. The cost of everything goes down. So if you see bigger cities, they actually reserve sites inside of developments for new schools, and that's for a reason. You put your high-density development around schools. So that's what you look at, and that's what our consultants confirmed what you do. I'd like to point out our, land use plan from our 2007, which we're currently updating. Which Interstate Engineering is updating. And if you look at this area here, right in this area, it is slated from 2007, high-density residential to medium-density residential. So there's nothing new. It's nothing out of the norm. It's not. They've been throwing this thing towards high-density since 2007. Like I said, these are paid consultants that look at these things. The people that are redoing our land use plan currently have made a recommendation that this is still an adequate location for a project like this. So I just wanted to give you a little background on why the recommendation. We did present this to Planning and Zoning Commission, and it was up in the air, but it was in favor, 3-2 vote on that, to recommend to you guys for approval of this option to lease. Not in the rate, it's just an option to lease. If they do not get the WCD financing, it goes away, it's void. Nothing happens there. So I just want to give you a little background on how we made our recommendations on that. Thank you.
I'd like to just make a comment. I think the consensus is pretty clear that there needs to be this type of housing in the town of Buffalo, and all the data shows that. I'm not in favor of the location either. As many residents have pointed out, it's one of the busiest areas in the town of Buffalo. And then I know you're trying to bring some of those people closer to schools, but when you think about everything else is on the other side of town, so then you create traffic from their home to go to the grocery store, to go to the gas station, to go to those things. The other thing, we've been discussing this for several weeks now, and the other thing that was mentioned to us, and there hasn't been any research done in this. This came from an old study and a citizen that brought this to our attention. But the ground underneath that build site is questionable at best, and they're not even sure that they can build something on top of it. Like I said, that was just a little tidbit of information that came out of all of this. The other point is I'm not comfortable entering a 90, really any lease with someone. I don't want to be the first council to set that precedent. And so, as you can may tell, I won't be in favor of this.
I would go ahead and make a motion to deny the long-term lease of city property.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, motion fails.
That motion passes.
Passes. We will not be entering into the housing solution. Mr. Dawson.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you for allowing me to come again. Thanks for the support. One more time, you know. It's a monthly thing. I love it. All right. Tonight, the funding's in place. We're good to go. We have your support. The next week before we break ground is a building permit. So I'm here tonight to ask for a waiver for a building permit for this project.
Mr. AC, you go a little bit.
I've looked at the plan, the square footage is. So the number for the permit would be $1,612.80. Water tap, $2,500. A sewer tap, $2,500. Bringing the total to $6,612.80. Thank you.
Are you asking for building permit, the water and sewer? Or are you just asking for the building permit?
I guess at this time I'm going to ask for all three. I wasn't prepared for the city tap and the sewage, but yeah, we had that discussion earlier about having water and sewage to have a bathroom in this facility. So, yes, the full gamut, so we can break ground here shortly.
Do you are ready to have water and sewer in the clubhouse out there?
We do. Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah. Are you going to have to come off the same building or different tap location?
It's going to be, I haven't verified that with Kevin yet, but we went out and looked where the lines needed to be, and the building's going to have to be raised because it was the sewage was going to be have to be pumped up. We're going to have it raised right now, so I'm presuming the way that that's laid out, it will come into the line before it goes down into. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
So yes, it would happen.
Can I get a motion to approve the waiver of fees for 4-H city sports?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Passes.
2-1, we're good to go?
2-1, we're good.
Thank you. Thank you for everything with this. And I'll be back to report progress. Thank you.
Buffalo, Wyoming Community Ring. Where'd you go? I saw you come in. There you go.
Mayor, Council, my name is Edison. Thanks for having me again. I am here to request a noise variance. Excuse me. But before I do that, I did want to extend my appreciation from the last time that we met and the promptness from the city attorney in getting us that lease. It's currently being reviewed by our council. And I did just want to extend my gratitude for your willingness to meet with us on that. So the reason I'm here today, though, is we are hosting a event in the park, the rink facility. It's going to be the second year that we've run this event. We had a lot of success last year. We're going to be trying it again. What it's going to be is we're going to start with a three-on-three ball hockey tournament, and then we're going to transition that into a bit of a festivity with multiple bands and refreshments being served directly thereafter. So I'm here to request a noise variance from 2 to 9 p.m. For the 3rd of August. That's going to cover the tournament and the bands. The bands will probably get started closer to around 6.
Chief?
Sounds good. I'd make a motion to approve the noise ordinance.
Second. Have a motion and second. Any further comment? All in favor of approving the noise variance request for the Wyoming Community Rink from on August 3rd from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. Signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Party on.
Thank you.
Oh, I might make one more comment on that. Just for the public record, that is free to attend and participate in. Hopefully we'll see a lot of people there. Thank you.
University of Wyoming Research Grant. Is there anybody here representing that? Wyoming Conservation Corps Project. It's an agreement entered into between the City of Buffalo and the University of Wyoming. Desired research services in accordance with the scope of work outlined within this agreement. Adam Clark, can you walk us through with it?
This is to bring the Wyoming Conservation Crew to Buffalo for trail maintenance. They clean up a lot of Russian olives. And
you've done this in the past. Can I get a motion to?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. I'll sign this and give it real quick. Chamber. I know you're here somewhere.
Yes.
Chamber of Commerce Fair and Rodeo Parade request. Street closure. Main Street from Bypass Road to First Interstate Bank, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Designated open container. Main Street from Bypass Road to First Interstate Bank, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Anything else you'd like to add from the Chamber? Chief, any issues?
We're good.
Any of this? This is the annual...
Date.
August 3rd.
August 3rd is a busy day.
Yeah, it's a very busy day.
Yeah. So you keep it from raining this year, that'd be great.
I'll try.
Can I get a motion to approve the street closure from Main Street from Bypass Road to First Interstate Bank and the designated open container?
I so moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? See you at the Fair and Rodeo. Resolution 1482, resolution by the Town of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, establishing an opt-out provision allowing city water users to decline having a smart meter installed and establishing fees for manually reading, recording, and billing non-standard water meter. Can I get a motion to approve resolution 1482? Dennis,
Mr.
Hi. You snuck up on me.
As you know, we're in the process of changing out the water meters in the city. There's been some citizens who have objected to the installation of the water meters. And there's been articles in the paper and letters to the editor. And rather than dispute what those letters say, I would dispute many parts of them, including the fact that I bullied anyone into getting a water meter replaced. I'm charged with enforcing the law. It is a law under your ordinances that anybody interferes or obstructs during reasonable hours to inspect, read, repair said meter. And they said, well, it doesn't say replace. No, it doesn't say replace. It also talks about interfering with the usefulness of the system, which I think, without a doubt, this would be. I'm not going to dispute, get an argument with them. I think the thing to do for the city is to have an opt-out provision, and I've drafted this resolution to allow any citizen to opt out under the understanding they would have an additional $15 a month put on their water bill. And that would cover the cost of a city employee going out monthly to read in the existing non-standard water meter and then bring it down to City Hall and then have that put on that particular bill. So I prepared the option out form and I've given that to Julie, and this is the resolution approving it. Did I send you the form to it? And people can pick it up. If people want to opt out and pay an additional $15 for their water, so you can do it. Talked to Jenny. I enjoyed around in her truck while she was doing the reading of the current meters. And I asked her how many replacement meters were on hand in the city, and there's 83. So there's abundant supply of additional meters, if those fail, that can be replaced. And the provision is, if we can't replace it, if it's not available, then we'll have to pay for the smart meter. I would urge the council to adopt this opt-out provision.
I have a motion to adopt Resolution 1482.
Mayor, I'd like to do some more research on this. I'd like to continue. I move to continue this resolution 1482 to our next meeting on August 6th.
Okay, I have a motion for continuance. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none on a motion for continuance. Signify by saying aye.
Are we allowed to public comment?
As soon as we vote.
After vote. Mm-hmm. After vote.
Am I correct in that, Dennis? They can have public comment after the vote?
Well, I think the question on the floor is a continuance, which is not the question of adopting the opt-out. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Vote. I'll give you an opportunity.
Well, one of the things we wanted to point out is that we have provided the city. I'm Corina Earl-Grave, Dr. Earl-Grave's wife, and we have submitted to Ms. Silver-Nagel a boatload of information regarding safety issues, health issues, and what other states are doing. And it is clear that Wyoming is in need of clarifying its policies and or ordinances, laws on opt-in and opt-out policies for the state residents. They told me when I called the Commissioner of Public Services office that that is available for the electric companies, but the municipal issues are still at the city and county level. So we have a petition to our legislation here in Wyoming to look at a statewide policy 27 or 28 states already have this, that people are able to opt out or opt in, because smart meters is not a standard water meter. It's not replacing it with the same type of meter. A smart meter emits radiation. And while the company says that this radiation is below the limits of being harmful or risk, many people have many smart things in their homes already. So it's an accumulative effect. And many people choose not to have these devices in their homes. I, for one, do not have most of those devices. And because I know it's an accumulation. So if you have a bunch of smart appliances, televisions, cell phones, all those things, Wi-Fi, you're adding on to your limit. And so that limit keeps going up. And pretty soon you're way over the limit of not getting cancer. So you think right now the technology is coming out faster than we can keep up with studying the effects of this technology. And the smart stuff has only been out for, but it's already been proven by the World Health Organization that this is a dangerous technology and it does cause cancer. And so that's why many states are looking at this saying, you know, enough is enough. And being that this is a municipal item, you know, I'm sure you're concerned about the health, safety, and risks of your residents. You cannot say in a letter that you know the letter stated that the city is aware of the health risks for every resident. That's what the letter said. And that's not possible. You have not gone into every home and said, oh, how many smart meters do you already have? How many smart devices are in your home? And then measured the accumulation of the radiation being emitted from those devices. You said that the device is only on for 30 seconds or 60 seconds a day. Well, it's on all the time with the battery. It's only transmitting that 60 seconds a day. So the list goes on, but we've provided Ms. Silvernagel abundance information for you to take the time at this point to look at and see. And my advice would be to at least wait before implementing this till you get all the facts and know what you're putting in these. Because as far as I know, the smart meters are functional. They're not, they're working. They're not irreparable in the meantime. So this is why the residents are concerned, because it's called informed consent. If you are putting a health risk in our homes that we own and then threatening to shut off the water if we don't comply with a ordinance that does not say replace a meter, even with a light meter. But this is totally different technology, and so that's why it's a problem. So I advise to read the information that was sent to you. We asked to meet with you, but that has not happened to this point. I was glad the resolution was written, and I think that's a good way to go at this point. But I understand you need more information, and I hope you take the time to read it at this point. So that's it. You have anything to add?
I do. Thank you. That was great. Thank you. That was very comprehensive. Yes, so this is a completely different technology. This is not just replacing. This is adding radiation, which is unnecessary and dangerous. Also, again, the code that's being repeated does not say replace. It says inspect, read, or repair. As far as I know, everyone's water meter is working fine, so it's not necessary. So again, the ordinance does not apply. You do not have the authority. In addition, because it is dangerous, you absolutely do not have the authority to force this upon anyone. And I would ask that you consider not charging anyone who opts out, because I think that is unfair. I think that is discriminatory. We're already paying for someone to read our meters. How is this going to be any different?
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, fuel dispensing facility. So this came about there was concern with the upcoming Camperee in Gillette, which is 50 to 60,000 people coming through, Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, Fair and Rodeo, and just tourism in general, that there's a possibility that there might be a shortage of fuel available to emergency response vehicles, and the city attorney was kind enough to draft this. So it would be allowing, in the highly unlikely event of running out of fuel for emergency response vehicles, it would allow Buffalo EMS, Johnson County Sheriff's Office, and Johnson County Fire District Number 1 to fuel out of the joint powers fueling facility if all the commercial areas run out of fuel. Am I correct in that, Mr. Attorney?
Yes, Mayor. The fuel dispensing facility, is what it's called, is operated by the City of Buffalo, the Johns County School District Number 1, and YDOT. And the concern is that there's going to be a shortage of fuel in August because of the events occurring east of us. So the mayor asked me to draft this document. Charles Oski was in today, reviewed it. He has approved it. I don't know when the next meeting in the school board is to sign it or give your authorization to sign it. But I would ask that the city sign the limited emergency fuel dispensing agreement. It only covers the time when there's no other fuel available to Buffalo Ambulance Service, to the Johns County Sheriff's Office, or the Johns County Fire District Number 1. And so when that, if those things occur, they can go up and purchase the fuel at the fuel dispensing area. We will bill them our cost through the school district. And I think that's the proposed solution.
And this is only for the month of August?
Only for the month of August.
It basically self-terminates for 1 month only.
Right.
I'd make a motion to approve the limited emergency fuel dispensing and use agreement for the month of August.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? There we go. Quick. Reports, Mr. Kirby.
Nothing further.
Thank you, Mr. Kirby. Mr. Acey.
One more report is the repair on the mural on Margo's building has started. That started yesterday, so Aaron and his crew are patching her up.
Chief.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. I have really nothing new to report, but I just want to throw out a friendly reminder. Our Longmire Days start Thursday. So we should see a big influx coming Wednesday night when our actors arrive and our volunteers arrive. It should really only affect traffic on Friday morning from 8:30 to 10:30. There's a 5K, 3K fun run walk. That's going to be around Prince Brzezinski Park, same as last year. So that's would just be a couple streets that will be shut down for a little bit. And then on Saturday morning from 9 to 10 is the parade. That's going to be from Angus up Main Street to 4th Street and back around to Bonner Mountain. So just for anybody that's going to be out and about, come out and have a good time. But town's going to be probably pretty crowded this weekend. But they should be the only two things really affecting our traffic. Everything else is going to be kind of scheduled either at the high school or at Bonner Mountain and out at the TA. So looking forward to it. And hope everything goes smooth. And if you guys need anything, don't hesitate. I'm going to reach out to Kevin and just make sure, like they were gracious last year with barricades and helped us out a great deal. It'll be the same this year. So, with that, I'd love to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Speaking of Kevin, you're next.
lot. Just remind that we the Wells project is still going forward. We got the July 25th pre-bid meeting. And then we've had quite a bit of interest in it. I think last count there was five or six contractors that have picked up bid packages on it. And so then the bid opening will be August 8th on that. So that's on that. And we had SIPs meeting. Going on with that. The Main Street project is going well. We've started replacing some fire hydrants, doing ADA ramps, and just moving forward on schedule. So that's really all I have. Any questions? Thank you.
That's great.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a quick sunset update. So the contractor, they have moved on to the next block. So they're between Spruce and Juniper Street on Sunset. They're starting the demo on that. Concrete crews are on site. We poured the north side curb and gutter on Sunset between Cedar and Spruce. So it's starting. It looks much more like a road today than it did last week. So we're moving in the right direction. And they'll start in on utilities on that Spruce to Juniper. Probably the first part of next week.
Thank you. Any oral or written comments? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Amber from the Chamber of Commerce. First, I would like to express our sincere gratitude for the city for the 1% funding for the Chamber. We are very grateful to have those funds. We are working on getting all things going so we can start moving on that end. So thank you very much, the board and the executive board is super grateful for that. So thank you. Also, thank you to the city for, I don't know if that was Kevin or who that was, but the cool water sculpture out at the off of the highway there is up and running. And it looks really great. I was there yesterday and today, and it looks really great. So we're super excited to have that. Just because we get lots and lots of tourists who like to take pictures there, and we can start telling them that it's up and running and it looks really good. So thank you for that. The Fair and Rodeo Parade is, we're gearing up for that August 3rd. Everybody knows that. It's going to be a very busy day, along with all the other events that are going on. We did come up with a grand marshal. His name is Carl Madsen. I've got some information. Born and raised here in Buffalo. I think so. So we're excited to have him. We are working on some bids for our new awnings to make our front building look beautiful again and not so janky, I guess. And unfortunately, they can't reuse the poles for that. It's going to cause a whole lot more work. So we just got those. We're also getting some, I ran into a local artist, and it would be really, really cool to have a mural. It was not my idea. It was somebody on our board to have a mural on our building and kind of wrap around to that north side to where Lickety Splits is. Obviously, we don't have the funds for that, so I'm hoping to see if we can find somebody, a local artist, maybe young, who's excited and wanting to have something on that. Would be, I think, really, really cool on our building and really eye-catching, especially on that corner. So hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed we can come up with something like that. Campery, everybody's aware of that, August 5th through the 11th, along with Sturges and all the other things happening. Here's some just interesting facts from 2023-2024 over at our satellite location. We have had, for the month of June, or May and June, 2023, we had 813 people walk through just that location. This year, 2024, May and June, we've had 1,100, so just up a little bit, but I didn't gather the numbers for starting this month, but we've seen an uptick in both locations, just super busy, and so we're really glad and grateful to be able to staff that and have that open. Other than that, we are just busy, busy, busy there, and my door is always open. I'm at the chamber by appointment only, but you can always catch me on my cell phone or via email, so... Any questions, comments?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other oral or written comments? or written comments? Hearing none, announcements. Department head meeting August 6th at 7 a.m. City county meeting August 20th at 7 a.m. City council meetings are August 6th and 20th at 5 p.m. And no more announcements. Can I get a motion to approve the bills as presented?
Second.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And if no more business before the council, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.